Blog Talk Radio.
It does work. I don't know what she's dialing, but I got it.
Let's get lost in a better place. Pick up the world, travel through time and space. So much to learn, so much to see. A chance to escape reality. Open your mind and your heart. Gain new knowledge, get a fresh new start. MJ Network will bring you there.
This is Fran Lewis, and I'm waiting for Trish Roberts to call in. We're supposed to be talking about multiple sclerosis today, and for some reason she's having difficulty calling into the station. So I'm going to give it another 5 minutes and see what happens. Because I gave her the number is 347-884-9045. That is the correct number, everyone, and that is the number to call in to the show. And I don't know why she's having a problem, because it's definitely the correct number. So I'm going to give it a couple of minutes, and I'm going to tell you something about multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis is a neurological disease, which means it affects your nerves. It's also an autoimmune disease. This means your body defenses against disease malfunction, so it's acting on your own cells. With MS, your immune system attacks your body myelin, which is a protective substance that covers your nerves. The unprotective nerves are damaged and can't function as they would with healthy myelin. The damage to the nerve produces a wide range of symptoms that vary in many cases. And we're supposed to talk about these symptoms and how it feels to have multiple sclerosis. So I'm going to email her again. I don't understand why her phone isn't working. And I have no idea. We're going to talk about how it feels to have MS fatigue. We're going to talk about why MS is sometimes called an invisible illness, what a typical day is for her, and I'm going to give it a couple of minutes. Otherwise, I'm going to have to take out the show. I keep calling and something happens. It works. 347 884-9045. I don't know. If not, I'll cancel it. I don't know why she's having trouble, but it does work, and the number does work because I just called it myself on my cell phone, so it doesn't make sense. I don't know why it keeps happening. I don't know. This show might have to be postponed till another date because at this particular point, I don't know what's happening. So I'm going to play this again.
Let's get lost in a better place. Pick up the world, travel through time and space. So much to learn, so much to see. A chance to escape. In your mind, in your heart, gain new knowledge, get a fresh new start. MJ Network will bring you there. So let's talk about it when life and on the air.
For some reason, Trish is having a problem logging in. I have no idea. And I can't call. You know what? I'm going to try to call her right now. Let's see if I can call her. And we'll see what happens. Let's see if I can get through right now. I have her number. Okay. Okay. Let's see if I can get through now. Okay.
Hello, and thank you for calling Trish Roberts Life Coaching here. If you're calling to congratulate me on my recent number one best-selling author status, then from the bottom of my heart, I sincerely appreciate your call. It means a lot to me. If you're calling to schedule a free private consultation
Trish? Hello? Hello? It's me. I called. Trish? This is Fran. I don't know. I just called her, and she's not answering her phone. I just called. It's me. I called. I see your number on the air. Answer the phone. I don't know. I have no idea. He's on my screen. Hello? I can't call in again.
Hello, and thank you for calling Trish Roberts Life Coaching here. If you're calling to congratulate me on my recent number one best-selling author status, then from the bottom of my heart, I sincerely appreciate your call.
I don't know why she's not answering the phone. I just called her.
If you're calling to schedule a free private consultation or free strategy session for Trish Roberts Life Coaching, please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thanks so much for your call.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4.
I don't get why she's not
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, left off, press 4.
I called you.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase
machine.
And re-record, press 3.
Machine,
to continue recording
stupid.
Where you left off, press 4.
I called her. I literally called her, and she's not answering the phone. What am I supposed to do?
Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Trish?
Yes. Fran?
I got your machine 17 times.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and I kept calling you for the last 10 minutes, and I'm going like, what is going on here?
Oh,
I finally disconnected. I don't know what. And I know I've been calling, and I don't know.
There must be something wrong with my phone. I have to go to Apple and figure.
I don't know what's wrong with the number, but that's okay. We're ready to go, people. Okay.
Hey, let's go.
Okay, I have my questions.
Okay, great.
I'm glad you sent me the number. I don't know why the 347's number is not working because I just called on my cell phone. I called it myself. I don't know.
Weird. I
anyway.
Called it like 10 times and it just said this is a non-working number. Strange.
It is. Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, it's a weird day, but we don't care. So why did you decide to share your story with our listeners? Now I could put it on Facebook because people are going to want to know. They're going to have questions here.
Yes. Well, the reason I decided to share it is because I've been living with multiple sclerosis for 18 years.
Whoa.
And long time. And I've met so many, especially women, who sort of feel like their life is over and they can't do anything. And, you know, depression is a big problem. But the thing is, I've started a speaking career. I coach. I am a non-denominational minister. I do a lot of different things. I'm a singer-songwriter. So it's possible to do a lot, even with a disability. And I just want to share that message with other women that are suffering from this.
Well, I appreciate it. And I'm going to send the link, even though we had like 5 minutes or whatever, to someone. There's a waitress that I know in my diner, and she has it. So when I told her that I was doing this, she got really excited. I was standing online going to the library the other day, and this guy asked me what I did. I don't know why. And I was telling him about the show, and he got all excited. So there are a lot of people out there, that a lot of people that have it, yeah. I have a cousin, unfortunately, that's got myasthenia gravis. That's even worse. So I do know. I didn't even enumerate anyone else. No, no.
You have that? No,
no, I don't. My cousin does. He's one of the top oral surgeons in the world, and he's in the hospital getting another treatment right now.
Oh, my
gosh. No, I've got a whole bunch of things that are definitely not caused by anything except my family. What can I tell you? Nothing horrible, but nothing wonderful. I just deal with it.
You know,
one step at a time.
I think, yeah, and I think somehow, I don't know if this is true, but in my gut, I feel like the amount of people living with autoimmune illnesses is increasing, and I think it must be environmental somehow.
I don't even know anymore. I know that I know what my family had, and I know that some of my problem is caused by something else that happened that I can't talk about. But I do know that I have IBS. That is really horrible, and there's nothing
that
to
is
do
horrible.
About it. It is horrible. I'm going tomorrow to talk to somebody about a diet because I'm thin, but I can barely, I eat like very little of anything. So what made you realize that you might have MS? I mean, the fact that you realized it and you realized that you had the symptoms is a blessing in a sense, because at least you took care of it, because if you didn't, that would be a whole lot of other difference.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Well, I was a singer, actor, dancer out of New York for like 20 years, and all of a sudden I started feeling these little tingly kind of numb feelings on my right side, and I went to a chiropractor who was supposed to be the best chiropractor around, and he said, well, I think you just have a pinched nerve. It's nothing I would really worry about. So then my husband took me to a party one night. And do you know what MTV dancers are?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this tribe of MTV dancers is standing at the front, and they're dancing. And I'm right in front of them. I'm just grooving along with them. And all of a sudden, my feet just flew out from under me, and I slammed to the ground. And, you know, I looked at my husband, and he looked at me, and we're like, oh, boy, we got to go to the doctor. So I saw a neurologist, and he said to my husband, she either has a brain tumor or she has multiple sclerosis. So it turned out I had another MRI. It turned out that it was MS. And my life came crashing down around me. I was just heartbroken because I loved performing. And what I did after a number of years of kind of grieving is I became a music therapist so that at least I could use my voice to help other people. And I did that for like 20 years as well. And I'm still licensed. I just haven't been doing it as much because I've been speaking and coaching.
That is exciting. Well, I'm a music major. I majored in college in music. And my
is
sister,
that right?
Yeah, I did. I had no choice. You know, it's like one of those things that I walked in and said, I'm an English major because I like to write. And then the dean looked at me and he said, but you play the piano and the violin. I said, no, what does that have to do with anything? I think you should major in music. I go, not really. And I did. It was the hardest
major. Where did you
go? Hunter. Hunter in the Bronx.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, I know.
I was the toughest major in the world. Nobody realizes it. It's hard. You have to.
If you do it, you realize it.
I had to learn how to play, and I'm little. I'm 5 feet tall. So imagine me standing on a stool to play the bass fiddle. Oh, my God.
Woo!
And the cello, and my fingers are little. I barely made it. I cracked up laughing. I said, how am I going to go from an E to an F and a half a step on a bass fiddle when the thing is like 5 inches. I go, yeah, okay. So I had to take that, and then I said I took strings rather than woodwind, and I had to pretend not to know how to play the violin, even though I was a concert violinist, and I pretended not to know what I was doing so they would let me take violin. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was the best thing I did, because when I started teaching, I was like 18 years old, and I got the job on my assistant principal was my third grade teacher. That helped. But I kept it because I play the piano. So,
That's
music is my life. But the doctor told you you had it. What kind of questions did you ask him? Because I think people don't know what to ask someone when they have that.
That's right. I didn't know what to ask. So what happened was, at the time, my husband had a patient who was the head of the MS Society in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's not here anymore, unfortunately. But he said to my husband, my husband said to him, what would you recommend? And he said to my husband, if it was my wife, I'd get her on Tysabri as soon as possible. So that's what I've been on for many years, and it's been very effective. And also, one thing people don't know about MS, I exercise a lot. I do a lot of strength training, and my last appointment with my doctor, I had had an MRI, and he said, there's absolutely no movement in your lesions. It's like you're in remission. And
that's fantastic.
I still have bad days. I have days where I have trouble walking and things like that. But but at least it's slowing down the progression,
Well, the girl in the diner asked me to look something up, which I did. Because when I told her about this show, she said she had the weirdest thing. So I'm saying I'm going to ask you if you could describe it. She said she had something called an MS hug, and she never knew what it was, but she said it was horrible.
Lucky. I've never had that, but I've certainly heard a lot about it. I guess it's kind of like you feel like you have something around the top of your body, your torso, and it just kind of feels tight, like as if you had a girdle on the top of your body. But I have never experienced it. But I've certainly heard a lot of people in Facebook groups talk about it.
Yeah,
so
they do.
It's not uncommon.
She had never had it until recently. So you take the medication. Yeah, she didn't know what it was, and she got scared. And she went to the ER, and then she went to her neurologist, I guess, and she's fine. Because, I mean, she moves like a clockwork. I give her my books. When I'm done with them, she's my book partner. There's a whole bunch of people in this building that are my book partners. I can't walk in without saying, do you have something for me to read? I go like, what? Porter in my building, there's a lady on another floor, there's my hairdresser, there's the doctor, nurses, I give them away. As soon as I'm done, it depends on what it is. Except if it's autographed, then they don't get it. So what kind of support do you have from everybody? What kind of support do you have for this? Because it's hard. People need people to talk to.
That's right. To tell you the truth, I feel like I've gotten to this place where I'm my own support. But if it weren't for my husband, I couldn't, live the way I do. He is amazing and helps me so much. But, I just recently spoke for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And it was just amazing to see the variety of the way the disease affects different people. There were women there who had trouble speaking. There were women, there was one woman there who had been working for 20 years and nobody at work knows she has MS.
Maybe that's a good thing in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's stunning. I wish I had that kind of MS. But you can't even tell she has it. It's so and the interesting thing is that everyone, and this is what I learned too when I spoke there, is that every person is different. And it affects people so differently, you wouldn't even know it was the same disease.
I know. So, I looked it up. When I have it on my face, I have it on my site here for MJ Network. It says trouble walking, feeling tired, muscle weakness or spasm, blood or double vision, numbness and tingling, other problems, poor bladder or bowel control, pain, depression, and problems focusing or remembering. And there's a whole lot more.
There's a whole lot more.
And this says the symptoms usually start between ages 20 and 40. And most people with MS attacks are called relapses. And when the condition gets noticeably worse, they're usually followed by times of recovery when symptoms improve. But you've got to be really lucky to get the right medication. Otherwise, you're in big trouble.
You know, I was reading something about Ireland, and there's people with MS in Ireland, and they are having a very difficult time getting medication. I don't know why. And I wish there was something I could do about it, but I just can't understand why they would be having trouble getting it. Of course,
you know, you never know. Not every government wants everything done. But, you know, my nephew went to the Dominican Republic, and he needed certain shots, and I didn't understand. I knew the medication, but I wanted to make sure. You know who you might contact? The CDC. They're fantastic. And they might
that's
be able
a good
to.
Idea.
They may be able to tell you, because when I needed to know something about the shots, the malaria shots and the tetracycline and a whole bunch of other stuff that he had to take when he went there, there were like three different numbers to call for three different things. So whenever I don't know something, I call them, and they're fantastic. They really are. Well, actually, the drug company that gives you your medicine, if you call them, they might, you know, maybe
they might know. Yes, I'm trying to get them
off the top of my brain.
Yeah, they might. I'm trying to get that company to hire me to speak.
I think they should.
I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm.
Well, you never know. You could. You know what happens sometimes, and I learned because I'm terrible. You call them up and you tell them that they're wonderful, and that you appreciate the fact that it helps you, and said, you know, anytime you need a speaker. But you know who might help you, like hospitals and stuff like that. They may allow you. My mom had Alzheimer's, and I'm a pro at Alzheimer's. And I was very disappointed because I did speak at one caregivers center in the Bronx, but I asked to speak at another one and another one and another one, and I don't know why they haven't let me, because I wrote my last book. It's called The Daughter's Promise, and it's about that's her story, and her words are mine. And when it comes to Alzheimer's, I would love to talk about it. But
a cruel disease.
Oh, this is the worst. It's the worst, let me tell you. So there's no cure for MS. So what kind of research is being done? Not at this time, right? Nothing.
No cures at this time. My doctor told someone that within 5 years there'll be a cure, but we kind of think he might be trying to just make us feel better. No, there's no cure. You just have to treat the symptoms, basically. It's a very complicated disease because it affects the brain and the spine, and, you know, it's just so complicated. So I know that they're constantly doing research. My doctor used to be one of the top researchers, my old doctor, but I don't think they've been able to come up with anything yet. I know some people are doing this thing where they're spending a tremendous amount of money and flying to Singapore or Russia, having their stem cells removed and then replaced, and it doesn't work. I mean, it works for short term, and then it stops working. And I feel so bad because these people come onto the Facebook group and they're like, "I'm cured," and then it comes back, you know, and they spend all this money on it. So I just pray that they come up with something.
I don't know if they're going to ever come up with a cure for just about anything, but I think they may come up with something that people can take forever or whatever that'll keep you going. You know something?
Yeah.
If they ever can, and there's a book that I reviewed, And multiple sclerosis wasn't one of the diseases. It's a book called California Cures, Stem Cell Research by Donald C. Reed. And there is a cure for Alzheimer's. And there was a pill out there that has no side effects, supposedly, and they canceled the funding that this doctor was doing. It's a whole book made up of stem cell researches for all sorts of things. It starts out with a little girl that was in a bubble, and somehow they were able to do something so that her parents could actually take her out of the bubble and have a normal life. His son is got paralysis, and somehow he's able to drive a car. It's unfortunate that when I was supposed to interview him, it didn't work out, that he never called, his phone or something happened, and he forgot to call in. But it would have been interesting. Yeah, the book is interesting because a lot of it is true. So this affects your life. You're able to work, and every single day you just pray that everything works. So what would you tell anybody? I mean, what are some of the things that you have to do all the time? What are some of the tests that you have to take in order on a regular basis, or aren't there any tests? There are tests that you have to take all the time.
Well, I go once a month for an infusion of Tysabri. Mm-hmm. And because I don't, have you ever heard of PML?
No.
Well, PML, in the early phases of Tysabri, there were some people that would get like a very terrible reaction. And so now they're very careful, and they keep you there for an extra hour to just observe you. So I go once a month for 2 hours, get an infusion, wait for an hour, and then, you know, leave. It's not too bad. You know, I mean, I can get work done while I'm there. And I have to go for like every 6 months, I get an MRI. And I get a lot of blood work done, and I know because it's right on the tip of my brain because I just saw my doctor yesterday. And you know, there are certain things like, you know, it's very true about bladder control and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had Botox to my bladder, but my doctor says, yeah, he doesn't want me to do that anymore because it can cause you to retain, you know, and that's very bad. Then you have to start catheterizing yourself. So I'm doing everything I can to not have to do that. So
did you ever consider writing a book about this or creating like a handbook? Because I did that for Alzheimer's. I created a caregiver's handbook, what people should know. And I think that might be some that would help that people like yourself that has it might be able to help other people with that.
Well, I created an automated webinar that I speak through.
That's good.
And I tell people there's just three main things I focus on. I focus on exercise, movement.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on mindset, because attitude is everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything.
Yep.
And thirdly, I focus on telling people to learn to ask for help, because Psychology Today did a study and they found that if someone asks someone for help and they do get the help, the person that gives the help gets a helper's high, and they get a great boost to their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask for help, you're not only doing yourself a favor, you're helping them too.
No, I agree. You know, I have a list of things here. I did a lot of research for this, so I know.
Great.
And there's a site that says what people should say to someone or helping someone with MS. And friends should say, would you like me to help you drive? Would you like me to take you to doctors? Is it difficult physically or emotionally to deal with the medications? Are you happy with your MS specialist? These are questions that, if you're speaking to people, probably would help them. Can I help you?
Oh,
you need help with your housework? It's a site that I found. It's called What Should People Say to Someone Living with Multiple Sclerosis? And I found this
morning. I'm
writing
it down.
And
I'm
really impressed. It's called, I'm trying to look at this. It's called multiplesclerosis.net/living with, actually I could take a picture of it and private
message
to you.
Oh, that'd be great.
I can do that.
Because
this is a fantastic, it says, what gives you hope is a good question that you can talk.
Yeah.
What inspires you? What gives you courage and what frightens you? And what research are you hoping will be approved? Who knows? So you get inspired. And what gives you the courage to not even say, I'm not going to deal with this? I mean, 18 years is a long time to have this horrible disease, and yet you keep going, which is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I don't know. I'm, you know, if one thing doesn't work, then I do something else. If that
mm-hmm.
doesn't work, I find something else. And, you know, music, like for you, is such a huge part of my life that really does help me. And I've started songwriting, and I think
oh, nice.
That, yeah, if you can do something creative, it's
mm-hmm.
really helpful because you feel like productive, and you know, it's my passion and it's my mission to help women with multiple sclerosis to find their passion, their purpose, get to their optimal health, and just have the hope and reason for living that makes the disease tolerable, because it is tolerable. It's yes, it is a horrible disease, but you can live with it. And there are a lot of adaptive devices. I saw a woman at the speech. She had a scooter, and I was speaking to her husband and her, and they've been all through Europe traveling, and they just pack up the scooter, and it comes apart, and they put it in the baggage section, and they fly all over the world and travel, and it's really great. So that's my next goal, is I want a scooter.
Well, I'll tell you, my mom had one, and
yeah.
she got one from a Hover Round.
Oh,
and they were
okay.
And it was free. It's free.
Wow.
If you have she had Medicaid, and she got it for free. I got it for free for her. I make the phone calls all the time. Made the phone
yeah.
calls, and you could do the same thing. They were the scooter was probably the best thing that I ever did for her, because it gave her some kind before
freedom.
She got really sick. Mobility, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And
that's what
Hover Round is fantastic. At least they were back then. There are a whole bunch of them, but this one particular one, Hover Round, was free. And anything that you can get a doctor's prescription for, which I'm sure you can, would not be a problem. And I just took a picture of that.
No, I did try, but my insurance won't cover it. When I eventually get on Medicaid, maybe it will, but I think
is what covered it. Medicare didn't. Medicare doesn't
uh-huh.
cover it.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I know.
That's sad.
It's terrible. Because
I know.
Because, you know, it's like, you know, I'd like to be able to get around easier because I have difficulty walking any
mm-hmm.
distance, you know. And it's so weird because I can lift 150 pounds, but I can't walk a half mile. It doesn't make any sense.
I understand what you're saying. I know
yeah.
what you're saying.
It's very weird.
It's just like not fair.
Yeah.
It's like not right.
Exactly. So, I mean, even if I have to buy one myself, I really want one.
You could probably rent one. Might not be as
yeah.
expensive.
It would be so cool, though, to be able to travel all over.
Yeah.
That's the main reason. Yeah, I would love to be able to do that. And it gave me so much hope when they were talking about this. And her husband was so excited about it. You know, he said, oh, we've gone here, we've gone there. You know, you cannot underestimate the value of a very supportive spouse.
I agree with you.
Yeah, you just can't. It's just, I don't know what I'd do without my husband. I really don't. He just does everything. And he won't let me do anything. And it's so frustrating because I'm like, I can do the laundry. I can do this. I can do that. And he's like, no. And he does everything and works full time. So I'm like, don't you think you might want to join a group for caretakers so you could get some rage out. And he's like, no, I don't really have any rage.
Really unbelievable, because most people in your spot would definitely have a lot of rage. I mean,
exactly.
I can't explain. Maybe some other time I will explain why. I can't explain what caused my problem, which is not anywhere near like yours. But the problem is that I can't do anything about it because of other reasons, unfortunately. And I just, you know, you live with something every single day, and you pray to God that it goes. I just emailed you. Oh, I'm getting really good at this. I private messaged you the site. What I did was I took a picture of it, copied it, and sent it, and pasted it.
Oh, thank
my
you.
My technology
is
great. I try.
It is. I wish I was better at technology.
This is what happens when you have no choice. Before I forget, everybody, on Monday, New York Times author Shannon Kirk will be here with In the Vines. On the 10th, I'm braving it. I got three guys, Charles Salzberg, Tim O'Mara, and Wes Clavin, three strikes. On the 15th, Peter Eckenhart, Napa Noir, he's a reporter. On the 17th, the first time ever, Queen of Kenesha is a graphic novel by Howard Shapiro. On the 22nd, Criminal Misdeeds, and this is exciting. On the 25th, New York Times author Carla Negus, Imposter's War. And on the 30th, to end the month, another fantastic New York Times author, Bruce Coffin, Beyond the Truth. I got them all. I am so excited.
That's fantastic. How did you get them?
They found me.
Seriously.
Negus, what happened was I emailed her one day out of nowhere, and I said, can I read your book? And she said, I've heard of you, yes. And then I met her at the Thriller Fest this year, and she loves me. That's all that really matters. So if I see that she puts out one of her emails to everybody and go like, where's my copy? And I get it. I'm excited. I have to email Tess Gerritsen. She has a movie called Island Zero. And on November 14th, if all goes well, I get an exclusive interview to talk about it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I braved it. She was the first New York Times author I ever emailed just for fun to see what was going to happen. She's amazing. And ever since then, she says whenever she comes out with something, I'm the first one to know.
Oh, that's great.
It's crazy, but I don't get paid to do anything, but that's okay.
I know. That's the thing about podcasts. It's hard to monetize them. Although, have you heard of Steve Alter?
No. I've been on, 2 weeks ago, I was on Mike Pimp Open Mic on 98.1 FM, 1270 AM, and they interviewed me for my mom's book, and they said it was 10 minutes with a half an hour. I was like, oh, my God, I actually did this. It's hard to get on a lot of shows. It's hard to.
Yeah, I've been on Blog Talk Radio and a lot of other ones, but not the huge ones, you know. And I would like to get on because I want to share my story, you know, and so many people.
Contact Cyrus Webb. I think he's got a regular radio show. I was on it a long time ago. He's pretty good also.
Cyrus,
you know, with your
Webb.
Story, you may be able to contact NPR, Leonard Lope. You never know.
Oh, that's an idea. Is there a person to talk?
Leonard Lope. Leonard Lope is.
I'm sorry, say
NPR.
It again.
Leonard Lope. He does NPR.
Leonard Lope.
He interviews people for different things, and he's interesting too. With your kind of story, you never know. You may get on. Me? I don't know.
Yeah.
And you know what? You never know. I would contact Savannah Guthrie or Hoda Kotb for the Today Show. You never know, because your type of story is something that people need to hear.
I know. And I tried to contact Ellen DeGeneres, but I couldn't get through. So.
I'll forget that. Ryan and Kelly on Channel 7, they might be interested.
Oh, yeah. She's leaving. Did you hear she's leaving?
He's leaving? He's leaving or she's leaving?
She's leaving.
I love Ryan Seacrest. That's so sad.
Do you?
You know who else might be interested?
He's not leaving. I don't think he's leaving.
Oh, she's
leaving. Say that again.
She's not. There's a Channel 5, a Good Day with Laurie Stokes and Rosanna Scotto. They do a lot of shows on that, too, on Channel 5.
Channel 5.
I don't know why I know these things, but, yeah.
So you live in New York.
I'm in upstate New York, yeah. I was in the Bronx.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in the South Bronx. I moved to the Bronx, a different area, until my mom died. Then we moved. The building where I was living was getting a little unsafe, but I wasn't worried because there were a group of 20 teenagers that made sure I was okay.
Oh, that's great.
It was a group of boys that the owner of the building was afraid of, and I wasn't. I would go into the elevator and go, my posse's here to take care of me. I wasn't worried anyway. There were certain people that would aggravate them, and your car would be, you know, keyed, or you would have punctured tires. And I didn't have that problem because I knew how to talk to teens. I never had a problem with that. So I was lucky, So
When I became a music therapist, I did a lot of work with youth at risk. And it was some of the most fulfilling work I've ever done.
You know who writes about music therapists? I just finished Double Blind, Iris Johansson. Iris Johansson's new book is called Double Blind, and Kendra Michaels is a music therapist.
Have you ever read any of Oliver Sacks?
No. I've read so many people that I've lost count. What I've read.
Well, he was a doctor, and he got very interested in music therapy. Did you ever see the movie Awakenings? Okay, that was him. Robin Williams played him in the movie.
I love Robin Williams. I miss him. I wish he was still here. He brought joy to people. He made everybody smile no matter what.
I think what happened?
It's so sad.
He was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Yeah. And he sort of gave up.
Well, when you're so dependent on your physicality for your livelihood and your, that was so sad, very sad.
It is sad. But, Michael J. Fox is so amazing.
Amazing.
I love that man. He's so funny, too, and he just does nothing phases him. He just takes life the way it is. And I think that whenever I get down or anyone gets down and I think about the fact that there are so many people that are out there. My cousin is in infusion treatment now for myasthenia gravis. And the last time I called him, he was in the hospital. It was hilarious because he tells jokes. And before he would let the nurse do anything, he had to tell her a joke. I'm serious. And then he would tell her another story. And I'm sitting on the phone going like, Mark, I got to get going here. No, it's okay. You can listen to the joke, too. As a matter of fact, when I called him the other day, I said about something, I said, I got a joke for you. I mean, we laugh. Because between the two of us, we're hilarious. And we're just so, we're from the same family. We're wacky, but we're very smart.
This is your brother?
my cousin. He's the top oral surgeon in the world.
Right.
He's one of the top oral surgeons in the world. He's in the hospital, and the hospital doctors are so happy that he's there because they come to him to consult for everything. He's extremely smart. And forget about teeth. He knows everything. So before we go, we've got about 15 minutes. What inspires you every single day? And what would you tell other people that are going to, just mainly for women? There must be men that have MS too, because this man online, he said his friend had it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are men, and I would work with men too, but, I had to niche down first. But I'd be happy to work with men. And people can get a hold of me by going to CoachTrishRoberts7@gmail.com.
That's what I need to write down on my back of my paper. Coach Trish Roberts7@gmail?
Yes.
CoachTrishRoberts7@gmail.com.
Yes, and I can give you my phone. Well, you have my phone number.
I do. I don't give those out online, people, because she'll be calling you like they call me every 10 minutes. No, it's okay.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's probably not such a great idea, but I don't know. I just want to reach people. I just want to serve and help because I've been so blessed. Not only with the person I live with, but because, I have a friend who has primary progressive MS, and I don't know if you know the difference, but it's terribly disabling. So much more so than the type of MS I have, which is relapsing remitting, which eventually, after a number of years, turns into secondary progressive. But it's still much better than primary progressive because, you know, I mean, it got to the point where she had to move to Wisconsin to be near her sister because she couldn't take care of herself. So she's one of my heroes. Yeah. But she keeps going, I'll tell you. She does a fundraiser for the MS Society every year. It's called Bonnie's Buddies. And, you know, she raises money, and I'm just in such admiration of her.
That is so important that people just don't understand how important it is to help other people and to reach out.
So many people have such problems of their own, they forget to think about others.
Yeah, I agree. You know, my niece is going for nursing. And when I told her that I was doing this, she got all excited.
Oh.
Because she did. As a matter of fact, guess who has all the nursing books and learning this stuff with her? Because
you.
She's very smart, but she's very smart, but she said that she needed someone to read all the 20,000 chapters and help her out with multiple choice questions, which I do. As a reading specialist, I do that. And I did. And she aced her test yesterday. She got 95.
Oh, that's great.
Because her crazy aunt read all the chapters. And as a matter of fact, I figured out where to get the study guides and everything. So I was really pleased with the fact that we did so well.
Oh, but that's fantastic. Where is she going, Hunter?
No, she goes to school in Florida. She goes to school in Florida. She goes to Orlando Medical School. It's a private school. Yeah, please. And she's doing very, very well. It's very hard. But I've got three books. And the pharmacology is what I learned. And that's where I got some of the information about MS. Because there's like five chapters on pharmacology and all the medications that are there. So that's one.
Yeah.
And then there's physical assessment. And then there's medical surgical. I'm learning everything. It's fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like you should be going
to med school.
Please. I have enough master's degrees. I don't need any more. I've got five. I don't need more. It's okay.
Five?
My mother
Tell
made me go to school.
In what?
Oh, don't
music?
I have a master. I have a my bachelor is in music and education.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a master's in education, which really is not wonderful. I've got one in reading, and I got one in reading and learning disabilities, and I got one in administration and supervision, and I have another one in a PD, which is higher than the master's, which is almost like a PhD, that's my mother.
Like a PsyD?
Yeah, she said that if I didn't do it, she would be very disappointed. And it was funny because I was in the hairdresser, and there's a lady that teaches ESL, and she said, why aren't you getting your master's in reading when you're so good at teaching reading and they're giving you all the difficult classes with learning disabilities anyway? There was Frank Macarola was the chancellor of the board of ed. He created a program for kids that were held over to transitional program. And for some reason, my principal thought I was the right victim for this. I felt like the victim. I taught sixth grade, and then he said, you know, you're going to teach first grade. This is the day school started. I go, you've got to be joking. I said, what do you do with little people? Better not tell people. And I had a friend that gave me a crash course in 10 minutes, and then they sent me to the Board of Ed to learn how to do this testing, 23 tests. Half the people, they cry. The other half the people stomped, and I'm saying to myself, this is not bad. 16 kids, no discipline problems, and in the middle of the year, they were able to give a test, and half my class went to second grade from first grade because they were all first grade holdovers. It was amazing. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, okay. And then they said, well, we're going to give you 8 new kids. I said, no, not. I'm going to teach second grade and first grade. The second year, they did it again. I go like, why me? And when they did away with the program 4 years later, I got stuck for the last for 19 years teaching 2 grades at one time. Until finally I got my reading master's in 1987 what is it, whatever year. And I said, okay, now you got to take me out of the classroom because I'm teaching reading.
Because what?
Because I wanted to only teach reading to kids that
needed
help.
Oh, okay.
It was so much fun. I mean, like, you go out and speak to people, and that's important. I did something crazy, and I would go over to my principal. I'm coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there are a group of about 90,000 kids that are going to be here to have extra help in reading, and don't stop me.
Wow.
90,000? And he looked at me, and he says, there's about 30, 40 that came in for breakfast and reading. And he said, you know, you can't do that. I said, yeah, I can. I could do it if I want. It's my time. If I don't want to, you know, have coffee with everybody, I can do what I want. And he let me do it. And then the principal that came after, she thought it was great. Yeah, she let me do it too, until the last one. And he came up one morning with the State Department. He said, the State Department's here. I said, and what are you going to do about it? It's my time. That was hilarious.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what?
I love
you. You have to do
like a very convincing person.
I try sometimes, but you never know what's going to work. Yeah. But before
it's
we go,
true.
Seriously, what resources are available and what health assistance should people ask for when they learn that they have this? Because that's important,
well,
too.
Yes, their doctor should be able to help them with that. But I know the Multiple Sclerosis Society has support groups. They have exercise groups in different counties. And if you contact them, it's the multiplesclerosissociety.org. And if you contact them, you can find all kinds of resources. You can talk, if you're having a tough time, you can talk to someone online. They offer a lot. And they have an MS ride every year where they raise money and people ride like 30 miles or something. And they have what now is called a muck fest, which I don't totally understand, but I think it's something about sliding in the mud. And they raised a lot of money from that because it was fun, you know.
Well, I just put that on my Facebook wall, and I'm going to put, if you want to contact you, I'm going to tell people they can do that too.
Oh, please, anyone, anytime. And if they call, if they don't call, if they email me, and I will try to get back to them within 24 hours.
Well, I'm going to put
Absolutely.
That on my wall.
Great.
I'm going to put it on my wall. I'm getting really good at
Wonderful.
This with one finger. Yeah, with one finger, what can I tell you?
So did you get all the masters at Hunter?
What happened was I graduated Hunter, and I started teaching at a ripe old age of 18. And my mom said that I should wait like a year or two before I decided to go back to school. My mom was a force to be reckoned with. Nobody messed with Ruthie. And I did. And by the time it became, I started at Hunter downtown. By the time it became Lehman College in the Bronx for my first
semester.
Oh,
yeah.
It changed. And then,
yeah, I've heard of that.
It was the same. It was okay. For education, I'm an education master's, it took me like a year. It was nothing. Then there was a lady in the beauty parlor that said, you're going back to school for your reading master's because you're too good. And I go like, Ida, I thank her forever. And I went back, and I started out, I was going to go for special ed. And I said, okay, the line was too long. I went for reading, the best thing I ever did. The professors were unbelievable, but you had to be smart.
Is
and
that
you were not,
like
at least
close reading? Close reading?
Yeah, it's every clothes, everything. I learned from the very first professor. I'll never forget this. I walked into his classroom. There were like 30 of us. By the time we got done, there weren't that many. and he gave us 3 books to read, and he said that we had to write 5 papers on the index cards. We had to type them on index cards. I'm serious. I said, but I don't have a typewriter. Seriously.
Why?
You had to type. I don't. That was his way. I don't know. You had to get the 8x5, the big ones. And I handed one in. And I'm like, oh, my God. I know I'm not going to pass. I don't know. The week after he came in and he said, you're all a bunch of morons. I'm like, okay. And I looked at him and go like, oh, well, what can I do? I'm 105. What can I tell? I don't know. And he looked straight at me. And he said, there were actually two or three, there were two of us that he mm-hmm. gave grades from 0 to 10. He said there were two mm-hmm. 10s and one 9. And he looked at me, he says, "And you are the high 10. I go, "I am? Oh, my God." and I was
great.
In trouble after that. I was in trouble after that because he decided to pick the articles that I had to write about. And I didn't think that was fair. I picked one that was like 10 pages. He picked one that was 40 for the next one. So I said, supposed to type on the back of a – and I still have it. How am I supposed to type on the back in front of an index card? I said, "Okay, I'll do it, but don't count how many cards." He gave me leeway to do three. So it was like six sides. I was cracking up. So I go and I get a 9.9, and I said, "You better fix that right now," because I'm not dealing with that.
Make that a 10.
My mother would say, like, "Why didn't you get a 10, and did you go up to him?" But it was hard because every week he gave an oral quiz and graded it, and you just didn't know. You walked in, and I had my notes open from the week before, signed, and I was the first person that they called for some reason. So he always said, you know, "Man, whatever." I'm like, why me? I mean, really, seriously.
Because you were
there. And I took it as an matric at night. So I figured I'll take one class. And I come in at the end of the last class. He says, "You just matriculated, even if you don't want to be." So,
well, who's paying for that then?
he looked at me like, "Okay." And I have him to thank forever because I learned how to look at a book and how to look at research past what's on the page. I learned a lot of strategies. And I learned how to teach
myself. Oh, I want to study with you.
The book was called Frank Smith, Understanding Reading. And then it was Huey's Psychology of Reading. Well, the book might have been written in 1840 or 50-something. If anybody really wants to teach their child to read, use it.
Uh-huh.
It's phenomenal. Whenever I had a student...
What's it called again?
The Psychology of Reading by Huey. He's a philosopher from way back when. I don't even know if you could get it anymore. And Understanding Reading by Frank Smith. That's not out of print. Psycholinguistics. And I said, "Am I going to remember this? How am I?" And how to memorize it.
Memorize it? Why?
Because literally, when you had a test with these people, you have to actually give it back to them the way the book said it, verbatim.
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh." So he gives me back my midterm, and I get 20, and 25. I got 24.5. I go, "What did I do wrong?" Because my father would say, "What did you do wrong?" So I went up to him. He said, "You left out two words." I said, "Can I have your pen, please?" <I swear. laughs> And I put the and I left out two. I didn't leave out anything. He said, "You didn't write that long enough." I said, "Where was I going to write it?" I wrote in the whatever there. It was hilarious. He changed it. But I put
funny.
All the information on Facebook, and I want to thank you so much. Really, thank
you're so
you
welcome.
So much. And if you ever decide that you want to come back on again, we hope the phone works. And,
yes.
That would be really nice. And if you want to talk about it again or anything about MS or if you're writing your handbook or you're writing your songs and you want to share them, just let me know and I'll find time for you to be here again.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds great.
Anytime.
I want to do that.
There's a beautiful day outside, everybody. We've got sunshine. I don't know. You're in New Jersey, right? You in New Jersey?
Yes. Yes.
I could tell. Same. Almost my brother's
how
in Jersey.
How could you tell?
973. My brother is in Cherry Hill.
Oh.
And you're in Brunswick? Brunswick, New Jersey?
No, I'm northern New Jersey. I'm right next
northern
to Montclair. Yeah.
I know where.
Yeah.
I know where.
Yeah.
I just know too many things. So I want to thank you so much. And,
you're so welcome.
Anytime you want to come on, just let me know. Everybody, have a great day, and bye.
Okay. You too.